Thank you for tuning in to the best parenting show on the internet, Post Daily Dose.
Hey, 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 good evening, Facebook family, and welcome to another episode of Post Daily Dose. With me, your trusted parenting advisor, faithful guide and servant on the healing journey. What's my name? Big Papa Brian Post. Hope everyone's doing fantastic on this wonderfully whimsical Wednesday. I'm coming at you early this evening, so earlier than our usual 6:30 time, because I am taking my mother out to dinner. And she hasn't eaten today, and so I told her I would come on early, chop it up with my peeps, and then we would scoot on out of here. Actually going to go pick up her brother, my Uncle Clifton, and we're going to go eat some food. So I wanted to hop on here and talk to you guys this evening about how to create a healing conversation. What's it take to heal trauma? It's an important question that I want to, it's something important I want to share with you. The difference between a short-term stressful event versus a long-term, potentially life-altering event is whether we have an opportunity to express, process, and understand it. I'm going to say that again. Because trauma is any stressful event which is prolonged, overwhelming, or unpredictable. And when that event continues on throughout your life, when you continue on with that event, forward with that event, and you don't have an opportunity to express it, process it, and understand it, then that event goes from being a short-term, highly stressful event to a long-term, potentially life-altering traumatic event. So the three things that have to happen in the aftermath of trauma is we've got to be able to talk to someone about it. We've got to be able to have feelings about it, whatever the feelings may be. The meaning, the Greek meaning of the word honor is to assign intent no greater or no less than what was deserved. So a lot of times in my camps and in my work with families, my consultation work, one of the things we always focus on is the emotional component of experiences. And the reason we focus on the emotional component of experiences is because trauma is emotional, relationship is emotional, behaviors are emotional, healing is emotional. Everything that we're ultimately trying to overcome and help our children with is emotional. And the problem with that, the problem is that we want to talk about feelings instead of feeling feelings. And not only do we want to talk about feelings, but because we want to talk about feelings, we don't know how to support other people in having their feelings. And when we are unable to support our brothers and our sisters and our children in having their feelings, or their parents and our parents in having their feelings, then we're not able to help them effectively work through short-term stressful experiences. Therefore, they become long-term, potentially life-altering, traumatic events. And so there's a couple of parts, and I'm going to make this kind of brief, but there are a couple of components to this. Number one is that you have to be aware of your own emotional barriers, your own emotional challenges. When someone shows up in your life with pain, and maybe they're crying or maybe they're angry, what that does is that stirs up your own, hey, good evening, Brian and Kendra. That stirs up your own limbic system, and it connects to all of your experiences around emotional expression. So when someone is expressing their pain, it triggers your limbic system, your amygdala, your brainstem, and then it goes in and it connects in your memory network with how that vibration, that intensity. So it's not just the cry, it's not just the sound of the anger, it's not just the tone that's being used that's important, it's the vibration. See, every tone, every sound carries a vibration, and it's that vibration that is searching your memory bank looking for a similar vibration in your past experience. Hey, Riley from the UK, good to have you join us. Riley, Gordon, Polly. I'm assuming that's three three different people or two different people, Gordon, Polly, Riley, maybe. You never know. Just like Brian and Kendra Weaver. So I never quite know exactly who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to you, my posties in the UK. Thanks for tuning in. So the vibration of the emotion triggers our limbic system, which then goes into our memory bank looking for a similar emotional vibration. And when, hey Polly, and when that emotional vibration, when that match lines up, then we release we have a cellular experience, which leads to thoughts. And those thoughts generate emotions, and then those emotions generate cognitions. So that's the process for determining how present we can be for someone when they show up in our lives, in our presence, in our moment with emotion. Now, the challenge is that a lot of times we're not emotionally self-aware. Hey, good evening, Stefan from the Netherlands. We're not emotionally self-aware of what comes up for us in the moment. We're not a blank slate. We need to learn how to be a tabula rasa, a blank slate, so that when someone shows up with emotion, we are not triggered, or we are aware of the potential for triggering, or we are aware that we are triggered and we breathe it down. We get present, we stay present to them, which then gives them the opportunity to have their experience. It gives them the opportunity to express. It gives them the opportunity to process. It gives them the opportunity to understand. The first key to creating conversations that heal is your own emotional self-awareness. If you are, let's say you've got a child who was physically abused, but let's say that you were also physically abused. You've created a lot of rationale during your adult years for that physical abuse, even to the point of denying it, suppressing it, denying it, blocking it, dissociating from it, not wanting to deal with it, not wanting to talk about it. So now you have a child who gets triggered and gets very aggressive and becomes very fearful from their own fear of being physically abused. It's going to be really hard for you to have a healing conversation with that child around their physical abuse because you shut down your own physical abuse. And this is why in my work with families, in my work in camps, I always take parents and therapists and housekeepers and anyone that's on the post team, just like the team I've got in Northern California right now. We're doing a wraparound program. The housekeeper, the chef, the massage therapist, the direct care staff, everyone goes through camp. Everyone has the same experience. Experiences don't change because we're all humans. We're all humans. And so there's no hierarchy in that regard. It's that in order to be present and understand what you're asking from someone else, you've got to be willing to go through it yourself. And so I always take parents through an emotional process of challenging their own emotions first before I put them in the presence of their children. Polly, will I be doing any workshops in the UK? Not in the very near future. You just triggered a thought. I did have one of my posties from the UK actually wants to schedule a call. I've got a couple of therapists over there doing good work, and so I need to see what they're up to, but I need to follow up on that. So thank you for that little reminder. I'm gonna make a note of that right now. Thank you for that, Polly. And I will definitely be letting you know if I'm coming over to the UK. Would love to come see you guys, hop across the pond. So I have to work with the adults to open up emotionally before I put them in a place to ask their children to open it up. Because it's not about asking your child to open up. It's about you opening up, which then opens up the child. So when you're able to breathe into your body, when you're able to acknowledge the emotional pain, honor it, whatever the experience was, honor it and open up emotionally and really connect to it, it gives you a different perspective in connecting. So it's a heart, it becomes a heart-to-heart experience. So a lot of times in my work, one of the first things I'll do, not only is start by having the parents, because they, after you've done your work, you have a paradigm shift. Not only having the parents apologize to the child for not having understood, apologize for the child for however they may have behaved, and then asking forgiveness to try again. But I have them then go through a process of opening up emotionally about the child's pain, honoring the child's physical pain, honoring their grief, honoring their experience, honoring the trauma that they've had in an emotional way. Because see, most of us have never had parents grieve for our pain. We've never had adults grieve for our pain, so we don't know what it's like to grieve for our own pain. So when you've not had someone be able to grieve for your pain, it's really hard not only to grieve for your own pain yourself, but it's hard to know how to honor that for someone else. So creating conversations that heal are number one about creating self-awareness. What about PA? I may be coming to PA, Brian and Kendra. I'm just waiting on some confirmation for that. But I have been asked to come over there for a few days. I need to follow up on that too and find out what's going on. Initially, we were looking at September, but then I think there was some kind of crisis in the county that was wanting to have me, so I'm not sure. But it is on the horizon. And so once you are self-aware of that, of your own emotional pain, you're able to then open up that emotion for your child. And when you open up that emotion for your child, what that does is that invites them into experiencing their pain and their overwhelm in a safe way, in a healthy way, in a way that actually creates healing. Because in order to heal trauma, we've got to be able to express, process, and understand. And in order to be able to do that, you have to have people that can support you and love you through it and be passionate and courageous while you're sharing your pain and really want your pain and encourage you to open up and let it out and be consistent and safe. Because when you are honoring those experiences, they don't feel good and they feel scary sometimes. And so you've got to be able to trust the person who's holding you. Holding you, meaning holding you emotionally, like D.W. Winnicott said back in the 1970s, creating a holding environment for the individual, an emotional holding environment where they felt like, where you can really feel like you're being felt and heard and understood and listened to. So that's all for Big Papa this evening. Remember, guys, in any situation, you always have two choices. You can continue to react from your same experiences of stress, fear, and overwhelm, or you can stop, you can take 3 to 10 deep breaths, you can slow down and choose love. I'm going to be on the road tomorrow. I'm so very excited. I'm going to answer that, Brian and Kendra, before I sign off. I'm heading to Atlanta, going to be speaking at PAC conference on Monday. And but my daughter and I, my oldest, Michaela, we are traveling to Atlanta tomorrow. She's going to go with me and spend the weekend. We're going to have a little bit of a daddy-daughter weekend. I'm very excited about that. That's my local social worker. Michaela's a social worker here in the state of Oklahoma, here in Oklahoma City. So that's what I've got going on. But we'll be in Atlanta plenty early. And I will definitely be seeing you guys same time tomorrow evening. So Kendra said, what about a child who, when you try to talk about the pain, said quickly, but I am safe now. Oh, that's so good. So number one, it's so good that they say that they're safe now. But this is exactly what I was saying. You're grieving their pain. See, you're saying, what about a child when you try to talk about the pain? That's you're wanting them to talk about the pain. What I want you to do is say, when I think about, honey, you put your child in your arm, take some deep breaths, and you say, honey, when I think about what you've gone through, when I think about what you've gone through, it makes me really sad. It makes me so sad. It makes me so angry. See, that's a healing conversation. That's the beginning. But I want you to encourage you to go into it even deeper. I don't want to boohoo on Daily Dose this evening, but maybe another evening, catch me and I'll be happy to share some tears with you guys over somebody's pain. Because in my opinion, if one of us has suffered, we have all suffered. And we all have the ability to help one another, support one another in their healing. So God bless you. Big Papa loves you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.